You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenzi. I work on a program to put some money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. I'm fired up, man. The countdown to the National Football League draft is officially on. The sports books have released the props, like the horses out of the starting gate at the Kentucky Derby, which is right around the corner, I might add as well. The props have been released, man, and there are a ton of them. We're going to focus in on NFL draft props throughout the week this week because, let's be real, the NFL is the kingpin. It could be the Stanley Cup playoffs. It could be the NBA playoffs. But this week, it's all about the NFL draft. It doesn't mean we're not going to talk about tonight's NBA games. We've got three games on the board this evening. And how about this? And I was wondering, I've been a little bit off recently. You know, I never really know what time it is. I don't know what the day it is. I don't know the date. You know, my compass. I lost my moral compass a long time ago, but my natural compass has sort of been off as of late. And, you know, the Hawks are playing the Wizards tonight. And I'm thinking 2-1. Like, I'm like, what's the series in that? I'm like, I remember game one. I remember game two. I remember game three. But it was really freaking bothering me. I was like, when was game four? I was like, I didn't do anything all weekend, all right? I didn't do a damn thing. Like, I think I left my house that's not true. I actually did a lot on Saturday. See my memory. If interviewing Mark Emery, the Prince of Pod, Jody Emery, Melissa Etheridge is doing nothing, then I guess I did nothing. See, most people, what'd you do on Saturday afternoon? Nothing. Damn, I forgot. I interviewed Melissa Etheridge. So whatever, that was a long time ago, but I watched every damn game. And I'm thinking, what happened to the Wizards game? What happened to the Hawks game? There was no game. Think about that. They're playing game four tonight. The Cavaliers are already done. The Wizards and the Hawks, these guys are going to be playing for another 10 freaking days, most likely, if Atlanta wins tonight. So we break it down with Steve Merrill. We got the Raptors and the Bucks on the board, the Wizards and the Hawks, and the Portland Trail Blazers. And the Golden State Warriors. And the Blazers had the Warriors on the ropes the other night. They're up by 16 points. But, man, just like flicking this switch like a light, you know, bing. And it was on Golden State. They weren't missing. And it doesn't look good tonight, all right? It doesn't look good for the Portland Trail Blazers. As we saw yesterday, and credit to the Pacers, they actually fought back in the fourth. Somehow Cleveland barely still covered late at 3.5. They ended up winning by 4. But we know this, man. In the NBA, teams don't have a fight. This isn't hockey. This isn't MMA. You know what I'm saying? This is basketball. They're great freaking athletes, but there's not a lot of comeback tales. And that's why it was such a big deal last year when Cleveland came back on Golden State. But when you're down 3-0, you know, right now Portland, they don't even want to go back to Oakland. All right? Like, it's over. It's done tonight. The only question is that they cover the 7. So Steve Merrill will join us. We'll talk some baseball with Merrill. We'll talk NBA basketball, NFL draft. Emery Hunt steps up and in. FB game plan, a little football talk with Emery Hunt. We haven't had Emery on since I think it was Super Bowl week. Been too long. I saw Emery's all over the internet breaking down the NFL draft. I thought, hey, we got to get Emery on, man. Emery knows football, so we're going to talk NFL draft quarterbacks with Emery Hunt on the program today. The sports books, and every book has it, all right? So your book will have this for recreational purposes only, depending on what state you're in. You're going to be able to get this. How many quarterbacks are going to be taken in the first round? It's going to be over, under 3.5. It's plus money if you think over. And we're going to break this down with a fine tooth and comb with Emery Hunt today. And we'll let you make your own decision on this. So, as I stated, we all know the National Football League draft is rapidly approaching, and it can't get here soon enough, man. As I stated, it doesn't matter. NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, doesn't matter what's going on in the world. The NFL always freaking rules. And it's funny. I saw an interesting story on Deadspin the other day about the NFL and drug use. All right, about the pills and about the pharmaceutical angle. And they actually met with the DEA and the FBI. And the NFL actually told them, like, you know, the DEA said, we know you're not following the laws, all right? You guys can't be just popping pills and giving pills to everyone like they're Tic Tacs. And a bunch of NFL doctors said, why not? And we're the NFL. And they actually compared it to the military. And they said, what about military exemptions? You're not allowed traveling with drugs into different states. And you used to be able to do it in the NFL. You can't do it anymore. So teams can't load up with a bunch of drugs and just load up and, you know, fly across the country. They got to register and get the dope when they get to a new city. NFL teams don't like that because they want to be able to jack up the linebacker with as many freaking pills as needed to get him through the football game. My point is the NFL is king. And the doctors told them, you know what, you guys travel on Air Force One through state lines with drugs. NFL doctors actually brought up Air Force One. And they said, that's for the military, that's the president. And they said, well, whatever. Like, we're like the military, we battle every Sunday. And as crazy as it is, it really is true. And I'm not talking about them being like the military, but the NFL is above the law. And we would all agree. We don't care. Let them pop as many pills as they want. That's why we're all fired up for the draft, because the NFL is freaking king. Can't get here soon enough, especially if you're Reuben Foster right now. Dude was like top five, top 10, top 20. Now, we all know about Reuben Foster's story, right? Reuben Foster, great backer out of Alabama, shows up to the combine, manages to get kicked out of the combine. That's almost as hard to do as getting kicked out of Super Bowl Media Row, which I've done. So you know, I have a hard time ripping people for being, you know, stupid in public, because I've been stupid in public so many times. But nevertheless, kid, you show up to the combine and somehow you tell the NFL doctors to go F themselves. Like you basically like bully them. You get sent home. You got kicked out of the damn combine. You apologize, sort of. And now we find out at the same damn combine, you produced a diluted urine sample for them. A diluted urine sample is as good as a positive sample. Kid's not even in the NFL yet. He's already in the drug program. He's already in the freaking drug program. He's not even in yet. And I got to tell you, I'm starting to wonder, okay? Now, listen, I got to be honest with you. I never, ever thought that the University of Alabama was some beacon of education or anything like that, all right? Yeah, like, I don't know if I want, you know. I've always been baffled. Did James Andrews go there? I know he lives in Alabama. But, you know, like Reuben Foster, you know what his answer was for this? I drank too much Gatorade. I was dehydrated. I drank a lot of Gatorade. And it must have been like he said, I drank so much Gatorade. You know, I kind of felt weird after drinking all that Gatorade. And it must have mixed weird with the food that I ate because of the Gatorade that I drank. The guy blaming freaking Gatorade. Like, I miss the good old days. Remember when guys showed up like with the urinator? What was it? Remember the dude on the Vikings showed up and he actually had like a prosthetic penis? And they had fake urinate, and he actually did it in front of them and stuff. They used to sell that stuff. You can get away with everything in the old days. Nowadays, everyone's watching, right? So Reuben Foster, you know, this guy's dropping, man. I wouldn't touch this guy, all right? And I think we're at the time right now where we have to start to look at Alabama football players and their track record in the National Football League and whether you really want to draft them. Yeah, you've got your Coopers. Yeah, you've got your Julio Jones. Hightower's solid. Ha ha, Clinton Dix is very good. But you look at Alabama, they're the kings of the, you know, the kings of the college football world, the kingpins. Are they the kingpins in the National Football League? How many superstar players are there in the NFL that went to Alabama? As opposed to how many freaking head cases are there in the NFL that went to Alabama? I don't even know where to start. Trent Richardson? Trent Richardson couldn't make an Arena Football League team, let alone an NFL team right now. Eddie Lacy would rather stuff his face with Whoppers than play in a National Football League. I can go down the list. Marcel Darius, Buffalo Bills, my Buffalo Bills. Yeah, great football player when he's actually on the field and he's not bitching about his contract and he's not suspended for drinking cough syrup. What about the offensive lineman from Alabama? Cyrus, big bust. Took this guy early in the draft. You know, the guy's second string player. He's running around the freaking farmlands of upstate New York right now, naked, asking for the cops to shoot him. And I tell you what, this proves that Alabama guys are dumb. Because if I'm a 6'7" brother, I'm not asking a white cop to shoot me, all right? You don't have to ask them. They probably will, Cyrus, all right? Don't. You know, we can go on and on and on here. You know, like, at what point do we say, I don't know, man. I don't know if I want to trust these guys from Alabama. There's only one Julio Jones. Clinton Dix is all right, but you know, it doesn't correlate. It doesn't seem like the risk is worth the reward when we're dealing with these Alabama players. And yeah, I don't want to blanket coverage all of these dudes, but the fact is there's a long track record of failure with Alabama football players. Cam Robinson's dropping right now. Seems like a pretty good player. They're questioning him. But, oh, yeah, he got busted with a handgun, and he was in a car with weed. I don't care about the weed, but the handgun, not a very good freaking decision. So, I start to wonder right now, and I got to tell you, I don't want any part of Reuben Foster. He might be a hell of a football player. The guy's already in the drug program. He hasn't even been drafted yet. As if he's not going to get suspended. He's blaming Gatorade. What is it about Alabama players? I don't know, man. I think they got worn out by Nick Saban. I think these guys are all high school stars and have been coddled, so they feel entitled. Then they go through a living hell boot camp for 2, 3, 4 years with Nick Saban. And there's more pressure playing for Alabama than there is playing for any National Football League team, all right? You screw up and Saban's all over you and you're not playing and suddenly you're not going to get drafted as high because you're not on the field. It's a living hell. It's a great opportunity, but I think they get mentally and psychologically worn out. And not to mention, I've been to Alabama. I've been to Baton Rouge. I've seen the tin freaking shacks that a lot of these kids grow up in. So after all these years, they finally are cashing in. And once they have the money, truth be told, I don't really think they care. They don't grow up dreaming about winning a Super Bowl. They grow up dreaming about getting out of the tin freaking shack. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right. Well, we got great news for us Michigan fans. I just stood here and ripped Reuben Foster for claiming that he failed his test because he drank a diluted test because he drank too much Gatorade. Now my boy Jabril Peppers, man. Jabril Peppers, diluted test. diluted sample. He blames water, not Gatorade. Yet, you know what? I believe him. Foster's guilty. Peppers is innocent. Peppers is a good kid. He's a good kid. He goes to Michigan. Someone from Michigan wouldn't try to cheat the rules. That's like, if this was politics, like, they would sit here with a stone-cold face like that. Trump's not playing golf, and we never criticized Barack. You sit with a stone-cold face. But I got to tell you, what's up with this diluted stuff? All right, maybe we're all jackasses and these kids are telling the truth and stuff. But what I want to know is, and even covering MMA, and our boy Warman in the booth, been around a lot of weigh-ins and stuff, I've never heard this. Like, what's up with this suddenly about guys diluting and failed tests because they drank too much Gatorade? After all these years, suddenly it's happening? I don't know. Maybe Foster and Peppers are innocent, but as a betting man, I'm willing to bet they were smoking weed. And at this point in time, who cares? It pissed me off. It'd be like a parent and a kid. If I'm an NFL GM, I'd ask Peppers, listen, I don't care. I don't care if you smoke a quarter ounce of weed a day, Jabril. But if you're going to lie about it, I got a problem. So just tell me, did you smoke the weed or not? Let's bring in Steve Merrill. I don't think Steve Merrill smoked weed, at least this morning. What's going on, Steve?
I don't get paid enough. Yeah. If I was going to get maybe $100 million payday in the next month, I'd be smoking a lot of weed right now. That's probably a pretty good game plan.
Yeah, I was at a 420 rally the other day, Steve. I didn't see you there.
Yeah, you know my libertarian views. I could care less.
You're right.
I mean, I think drugs should be legal across the board. I think alcohol is actually worse for you than marijuana. But my point is, I mean, these guys, they think they're invincible anyway. But if you're going to get the payday for the rest of your life within the next month, maybe try to stay clean for a month.
I spoke to Kyle Turley about this. I'm buddies with Turley. And Turley likes to smoke. He's open about it. He's an advocate of marijuana. And I asked Kyle, I said, so what about the season in the NFL and stuff? And he goes, you smoke all the time. No big deal. And he basically goes, they freaking tell you when they're going to test you. He's like, they test you once before camp. And he goes, basically, you can't smoke for 4 to 5 weeks before camp. And then Kyle told me, and he goes, Gabe, when you're making $6 million a year, it's worth it not to smoke for 4 weeks.
Yeah, no joke.
And even said, he goes, I don't smoke. And I go, what do you do? He goes, I drink. So he drinks for a month. He's like, all right, test is done. Let's smoke for another 11 months. I'm good. And like you said, and I've heard this from baseball players too, they don't want you to fail the test, Steve. It's not like the league wants this, right? So they kind of make it easy for you. It's not like they're randomly knocking on your door 2 in the morning like they are in mixed martial arts and boxing now.
Right, and then again, you know, I think mixed martial arts, you can make a case that you probably have to be in a little bit better shape than your average football player has to be on a week-to-week basis.
Well, the thing with martial arts is I don't understand how they afford the steroids, Dave. They don't make enough money. Like, you spend $22,000 on a great cycle, and you made, you know, $48,000 for the fight. But
yeah, well, I mean, these guys, you know, I mean, the NFL players, NBA players especially, these guys are freaks of nature. And they basically can go through life doing whatever they want. They're still the best athletes on the planet. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, it's not a big deal because he's been doing it, obviously, throughout college. I doubt he did anything different in the last month than he's done
exactly.
The last 4 years.
Listen, I don't want to say
anything. The MMA guys, they understand their bodies. I mean, they're the ones that are really impressive when you think of what they're doing on a month-to-month basis to, you know, drop 30 pounds and then put it back on and get ready and whatnot.
Listen, I'm not – I don't want to say anything slanderous. I'm not accusing anybody of smoking, but – as if LeBron James, you know, who's the greatest basketball player in the world right now. You know, like NBA players, they'll smoke on game day and stuff. Like,
yeah, as long as it's not changing your, you know, how you play, I could care less.
Yeah, it's so antiquated. That's why I let the diluted sample, unless it's steroids or cocaine or something. But whatever, we'll see what happens. Hey, innocent till proven guilty, right? We do live in a society in which it's automatic guilt right now, right away. Look, they ran your boy O'Reilly out of town, Steve. Now now Hannity's next, like, right away. Oh, and Sean did something to me, too. I don't believe Sean Hannity's ever had sex, let alone harass someone, all right? Like, so.
Yeah, I think, and Hannity's a little bit more of a hot button, you know, hardcore right guy. I could see them going after him. I think O'Reilly, there was a little bit of the old, where there's smoke, there's fire analogy, I think. That was becoming about a five-alarm blaze at the end of all that.
Yeah, but you're right. They're going after the right. They definitely are. Hannity, I wanted to bring that up, actually, in the intro about Alabama. But nevertheless, all right, so the Bucks and Raps tonight, Steve. Raps have been disappointing to their fans. I had high expectations. I thought they were a dark horse to legitimately be able to compete with Cleveland. And we can't discount them. Milwaukee have some talent, and we'll see if the Raptors can flex their pedigree here tonight. They were awful for the most part in the first three games. But here they are. They're locked up at two. They really put it together. They really played some defense on Saturday. Here they are. They're laying 6 tonight. I think the Raps get back in the winner's circle again tonight. And I like DeRozan's attitude, Steve. Guy's a real leader. He's all like, they're like, do you feel any redemption after the sheer embarrassment of the loss of game two? Or, sorry, to game three. And he goes, no. He goes, I'm still embarrassed. And he goes, I don't want that to happen again. Like, he goes, this is ridiculous. So the Raptors, I think, are in a good place. But damn NBA, Steve. Kyle Lowry was just sent home like an hour ago. Bad back. He's playing. They said, go home.
Can you imagine if Toronto wins this series, we get Cleveland, have the ultimate game one situation in the next. Raptors are, what, 1-10 in 17 straight game ones?
Put like $3,000 on the Cavaliers, and the Raptors will win as 12-point underdogs.
Exactly. Well, that's what I was going to say. Wasn't going to have to be. I mean, you got to inflate it a couple points. But anyway, looking ahead a bit there, but I'm just thinking about that because you've got the ultimate dichotomy, the game one dichotomy of all time, the NBA playoffs, if we get that matchup. And I think we will. Toronto is the better team in this series. I actually had a best bet on them in game two. They blew the double-digit lead and made it close there and ended up winning but not covering. Game four was a good spot for them. They were actually close to this 2.5-point dog. The sharp money and the public were on the Bucks Saturday, which I did not understand. You're getting the better team off a blowout loss in game four. Spot's not as good tonight for that reason now that they're off the win, but I do think they find the way to win this game. Whether they win by more than six is another question.
The under's now 5-1 in the six games they played this year, 3-1 to the under and the 4 in the series. Total is 192. Wizards and Hawks. Steve, I didn't get a kick out of this. And congratulations to your Capitals for advancing. They beat the Leafs last night. You're the Wizards, though. This is only game four of this series, Steve. Early in game four. Like,
yeah.
They're a little bit behind, you know, behind here. So I kept on thinking, where's the series? I couldn't remember the fourth game, but it's 2-1 right now. You know, I don't know, Steve. Both these teams are so damn even. It's pretty tough. I like the dichotomy of the Hawks on their home court tonight.
Yeah, this is what, you know, one of my biggest pet peeves about how they stretch these series out, but my biggest pet peeve is when a team is playing like their next round before another team is finished, or they're playing game four before a team has played game three. It's happened twice now with the Raptors, who are basically the stepchild of the NBA. You know, they're the NBA TV primetime spot for every game, and the league obviously doesn't care about the Raptor games. They don't get the ratings in the States like the other teams. They played game four Saturday before the Wizards played game three and before the Blazers played Golden State for game three.
It'll happen this year again, Steve, probably. Let's just hypothetically, let's say the Raptors win tonight.
they'll play Cleveland, though, so it'll be different.
Yeah, you know? No, but they'll play. I'm saying they'll play tonight, and then they'd play Wednesday again. And then they'd be playing on the weekend against Cleveland, right? So, yeah, they'll be in a TV spot, but they'll be playing against Cleveland, out of that gate. But my point is the Wizards and Hawks, they're still going to be playing next weekend. The Raptors and the Cavs will be playing game one if it happens. Meanwhile, it could be game seven next Sunday between the Wizards and the Hawks.
Yeah, and the Warriors series will probably be over tonight. So, yeah, but Golden State's playing later tonight as well. So this is the second time in 3 days that the Raptors are playing a game ahead of the other two teams at night. Which really is strange.
That's a good point. I know, but like you said, that's what happens when you're not – you got no TV juice.
Right, well, they want them at the early 7 Eastern. They want them at the 3 p.m. Saturday, which is just the death time. I mean, who's watching TV at 3
Yeah, Steve, we're used to it. They're the NBA network game. So are the Spurs, though. People are bitching. And the Spurs get there, too. All right, so what do you think about the Wizards and the Hawks? Tough game.
I mean, I think it's an even series, like you said. It's 2-1 Wizards, but I think it probably should be 2-1 Hawks. The Hawks blew game two, and then they bounced back and won game three easy. But you get a feeling the zigzag probably works pretty well in this series. Like you said, it probably goes 6 or 7, which favors the Wizards probably in a bounce-back spot now.
You and I have talked about this a lot over the years. Teams that are down 3-0, there's no fight. Right. There's no fight. And how about this, courtesy of Mark Lawrence's database, teams that are down 0-3 in the first round are 7-23 straight up, 9-19-2 against the spread in game four. Pacers put up a little bit of a fight in the fourth. They were getting blown out. They nearly backdoored it, but Cavs still ended up getting the cover. It's 7 points here tonight, but I think Portland taps out.
Yeah, one thing I will say, though, is the one spot that has been okay has been big dogs, big home dogs especially, and Portland is an 8-point dog tonight. They were only 6, 6.5 in game three, closed at 5. By the way, I had Portland plus 6, 6.5 in that game for my clients. It was nice for them to blow the 13-point second-half lead when they were covering by 19, and it landed exactly on 6. It's just how the NBA playoffs have gone. I had Indiana 25-point lead at halftime against Cleveland in game three. Cavs pulled the biggest comeback in history to win and cover that game a couple nights ago. So it's just been a crazy playoffs. I had the Thunder in game three on Wednesday, or game two rather, last week. They were winning outright the entire game. They made me sweat that. They did cover, but it got close. So this one probably gets near the number, but yeah, you got to figure, not only is it 0-3, but the fact the Blazers blew a 13-point halftime lead at home, how do they possibly have anything left in the tank tonight?
All right, let's blast through some baseball games before I get you out of here. We got the Nats and the Rockies. Rockies are the best bet in baseball, Steve. I don't know where they are in this week's power rankings that you're putting out over at Covers Experts, but Rockies, plus 825 on the season units. Nationals are on a roll as well. 13-5 on the season. Rockies on a 6-game win streak. Nationals on a 7-game win streak. Nationals have been a nice bet, plus 541 units on the year. Tyler Anderson, they called up Jacob Turner. Totals high, but both these teams can hit the ball at 12 tonight. I like the Rockies here, but it's a good baseball game.
Yeah, I really like the Rockies in this spot just due to the scheduling situation. The Nationals had to play the Mets on the Sunday night ESPN game last night. And now travel without rest to the most difficult, situation in baseball, the thin air and the altitude. And they're not a division team. They're a National League team, so they play there every year, but they're not a division team, so they don't play there quite as much as other teams. So just from a technical handicap, situational angle, does not look like a good spot for the Nationals tonight.
The third most profitable team in baseball, also in the National League West, the Arizona Diamondbacks, Steve. D-backs, plus 638 on the season. Interesting, though, one of the games that they lost, and they haven't lost a lot, was last week with this exact pitching matchup, Chacin and Zach Greinke, pitcher's duel. Greinke's been rock solid for the D-backs so far this year. That game was in San Diego, and our favorite word of the day, we got to have, like, balloons fall. Dichotomy.
Dichotomy. Pee-wee's
dichotomy.
Yeah.
7.4 runs a game on their home field out there at Chase, Steve. 8-2 on their home field. D-backs, best home team in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, the Rockies, of course, have that thin air, so they always have a lot of runs. Arizona, probably the most hitter-friendly ballpark otherwise in the National League, without a doubt. Meanwhile, San Diego, probably one of the least friendly hitting parks in all of the league. So you always have to be a little careful with the Padres, but their offensive numbers are going to be bad no matter where they play this year. They're batting just .207 on the road this season, and they probably are the worst team in baseball despite their 8-12 record. They're not at the bottom of my rankings yet, but they will be probably by the end of the season.
I think it's a fair price, laying 65 cents or so. In this spot. Dodgers and Giants finally in closing here. Both teams disappointed so far. You know, the Giants are sort of in a free fall. Dodgers aren't really panicking yet, but I'm a Dodger fan. I'm getting annoyed, we'll say. Like, I'm not no panic yet, but annoyance kicking in. We got Ryu versus Kane on the hill tonight. Giants have lost 6 of their last 7 games, 6 of 13 on the season. Only the Toronto Blue Jays have been a worse money burner than San Francisco. The Giants are minus 10 units on the year, minus 1037 on the year. Dodgers not much better, man. They're minus 628 on the season. Matt Cain does struggle against the Dodgers, though, 2-8 in his last 10. And Ryu's actually good up there in the Bay Area. Dodgers are 4-1, last 5 starts for him up there.
Yeah, I think San Francisco's a little bit like St. Louis. You know, a dominant team for years that might be kind of over the hill now. We're starting to see that. And they've been a big money burner like St. Louis. But the Dodgers, I think, will turn things around. These two teams have each played 19 games. Like you said, combined, they're over 16 games to the negative this year, unit-wise. Tough to pick either one the way they're playing right now, but I still think the Dodgers are the better team overall.
All right, Steve, so we'll get you out of here. I got an NFL draft prop segment coming up. I'm going to give people some best bet props. Are you going to do any draft props this week at all?
Yeah, I'm going to dig into it. I haven't looked at it much. I'm really waiting to see how many odds are up there. It seems to me, Gabe, I don't know if you've noticed, the last couple of years, the sports books are putting less and less up for the most part. They really kind of put it up late. So it hasn't become as worth the effort to dig in as much. But
just this morning, Steve, check it out. Just this morning, they released a ton. All the books, they're out there now. Yeah, what do you say about the quarterbacks? You like over under 3.5?
I think it's a really thin quarterback draft, but it doesn't matter. You have to have a quarterback, you know? And, I mean, it seems like every year they're going to take more than people expect, no matter how weak they are.
Yeah, I'd go over to 3.5, but we'll break it down.
Garoppolo being traded, though, could throw that off a little bit because he's basically like a draft pick because you're going to have to give up a first round if something happens there. You know, so maybe that throws off that number a little bit this year.
Steve, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Steve Merrill with us. And I saw Ian Rappaport tweet out Jimmy Garoppolo is not getting traded. So, in other words, Jimmy Garoppolo will be getting traded. Nothing against Ian Rappaport, but these guys, they don't know. They don't know. Oh, I saw it just right before the show. Malcolm Butler not getting traded. Pats are going to keep him. How the hell do you know? How the hell do you know what Bill Belichick is going to do on Thursday night draft night? You don't know. Nobody freaking knows, man. They don't know. But I'll tell you what, I do know whether a 3.5 quarterback is going to be drafted in the first round, and I'll tell you why coming up next. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, let's talk some NFL draft props. Emery Hunt will join me in a couple of minutes. We'll talk about the quarterback class and whether there'll be 3.5 quarterbacks taken, whether there'll be over under 4.5 Alabama football players taken as well. But let's jump in with a couple of other props. And there's a lot of them, actually. We can bet on the player props. Over under Dalvin Cook, over under Deshaun Watson, etc. And we'll get to those as the week progresses. But let's start off with a couple that I've actually started to bet already right now. SEC versus the Big Ten. Most sports books have this prop. SEC versus the Big Ten. Which conference is going to have more players drafted in the first round? The SEC is minus 4.5. So they need 5 more players drafted out of the first 32 players over the Big Ten. So let's dig down. Let's dig into this a little bit. So we all know the SEC is the king of the draft, all right? And they're also the king of the first round draft picks. They had 8 draft picks in the first round last year of the SEC. The SEC had 51 players taken in the NFL draft last year, the most in college football. The year before, they had 54 players taken. All right, so the SEC has actually had the most players taken in the NFL draft for 10 consecutive years, guys. So we can't dispute that there's a lot of quantity when it comes to SEC players. The question is, how many are they going to be drafted in the first round here? And then we'll get to the Big Ten in a second, all right? SEC, Myles Garrett, we know, first overall, we know about Garrett. Jonathan Allen. Jonathan Allen, to me, is going to be a top 5 pick. Let's say he falls a little top 7. Jonathan Allen. Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette's going in the first freaking round, all right? The guy's going to go in the top 10, probably goes to Jacksonville, 4th overall. Adams. I think Adams, safety out of LSU. I hope that he falls to 10 and the Buffalo Bills are able to get him. I'm not sure if he will, But he's a first he's a first rounder. Derek Barnett, defensive end out of Tennessee, he's a first rounder. O.J. Howard, he's a first rounder. Davis, the linebacker out of Florida, he's going to be a late first rounder. Charles Harris, the defensive end out of Missouri, he's a lock to be a first rounder. You know, 20 to 25 type of deal. So that's nine guys that we can say, you know what? We're pretty sure these nine guys are going to be drafted in the first round. And we're not even done yet. All right. Cam Robinson, big offensive lineman on Alabama. He could be a late first rounder, and I think he will be. Humphrey, the DB, he could be a first rounder, and I think he could be. Zach Cunningham, great linebacker out of Vanderbilt. Most likely late first rounder. And then we even get to the Lawson kid out of Auburn. That's up to 13 kids that legitimately can be drafted in the first round here out of the SEC. Now, I'm not saying that all 13 will, but will 10 of them? Probably 9 of them will, 10 of them. Can we get to 11? And let's look at the Big Ten. The SEC is king, man, but the Big Ten is gaining ground on the football field as well, as we've seen. And it's mostly due to Ohio State and with Harbaugh and Michigan right now. But the Big Ten had 47 players taken in the NFL draft last year as opposed to the 51 for the SEC. Ohio State had 12 players taken last year, one short of the all-time record of Miami Hurricanes in 2004 with 13 players taken. So let's look at the Big Ten. Who are the locks to be in the first round of the Big Ten? Lattimore. Lattimore, quarterback, Ohio State, he's a first round. He's top 10. He's top 7, whatever. He's going to be the first DB off the board. Hooker. Everybody loves a hooker. Hooker. He's top 10, top 12. You know, Hooker's going in the first round. Then it starts to thin out a little bit, though. Ramchek, big kid. If you don't know how to pronounce that kid's name, I'm not good at pronouncing names, but I actually know this kid. It's Ramchek, all right? So Ramchek, out of Wisconsin, big kid, big beefy old lineman. I got him going to the Colts 15th or whatever it is. Yeah, I think it's 15th. He's going to go in the first round. He's the best old lineman on the board. He's a first rounder. And then we get to Conley, the other DB out of Ohio State. They're pretty much locks to be in the first round, all right? And Conley, yeah, I would say, all right, that's only four locks, though, as opposed to the nine locks of the SEC. Now we hear Jabril Peppers, diluted urine sample. That's not going to help his draft stock. He was already kind of on the cusp, but you know what? I think we got to take Jabril Peppers out of the first round right now. Taco Charlton, he could go in the first round. He might go early in the second round. T.J. Watt, J.J.'s brother, good football player, might be a second rounder. Long story short, I've got to lay the 4.5. I think ultimately we can win this by 5. I'm looking at 12-6, 11-6, 11-5. I think that, you know, the number of 5 there, 4.5 that we have to lay, we can get there. And I say the SEC has more players minus 4.5 drafted in the first round than the Big Ten. All right, so here's another interesting prop. And the SEC versus the Pac-12. It's also 4.5. The SEC is minus 160. All right. Now, this is a good bet here. I like this one a lot. And I've actually already bet this one. We know that the SEC has 9 locks. We just went through this. 4 maybes. That's 13 potential first round picks. Pac-12. Who are the locks? Solomon Thomas going to be a lock early top 5. McCaffrey, I guess. You know what I mean? Yeah, okay. Let's say McCaffrey. Ross, I don't know. Ross is overrated because he's fast, but he's probably going to go in the first round. That's only 3 guys. That's only 3 guys. Davis Webb, is he going to go in the first round? Probably not. No. King DB out of Washington, maybe. Probably not. Takaris McKinley out of UCLA, maybe. Probably not. I don't know, man. There's a lot of probably nots and maybes in here. Love the SEC. Minus 4.5. I already bet this, all right? I like the SEC versus the Big Ten, but it's, you know, it's not a lock. To me, this is Stone Cold Steve Austin stuff. All right? I just don't see it. You know, we could have 12 players drafted in the first round here. We could have 12 players in the SEC. I just don't see it. Minus the 4.5. And finally, in closing, this is another one that I personally already bet. It's minus 200. There's no odds on this. There's no players. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Don't forget the replay is at 5:30 on the television side of things. And don't forget Red Heat and Rage Radio with me and Cam Stewart debuts tonight on Fantasy Sports Network Radio, 10 o'clock Eastern. But let's talk some NFL draft props with a man that, hey, this guy knows football as well as anybody out there. That's why we invited him on the program. Glad that he could take some time to be with us. Emory Hunt, footballgameplan.com, steps up. And then, Emory, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, man. I appreciate always having me on.
Hey, you know what? It's been too long. I think the last time we spoke was Super Bowl week. So good to have you back in the rotation, man. So let's jump in right now and get right down to business. Quarterbacks. A lot of talk about the quarterbacks, obviously. A lot of criticism of the quarterbacks. Whatever, Emory. You and I have been around a while. I hear the same crap every year. These quarterbacks suck. They all suck every year, right? Every quarterback class is no good, blah, 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 blah. We don't know. But the odds makers have set the number, and pretty much every sports book has this. Will there be over under 3.5 quarterbacks taken in the first round? And the no is minus 250. A lot of people believe no. And I asked people on Twitter, I did a poll question, and people are like, no way, there's four quarterbacks taken. And of course, the candidates would be Watson, Trubisky, Mahomes, Kaiser. Yes is plus 175. I'll give you the floor here. What do you think about these four quarterbacks and their chances of going in the first round? And let's start off with Deshaun Watson.
I think, honestly, Deshaun Watson is being criminally underrated for what he brings to the table from an accuracy standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, from an intelligence and development standpoint. He's ready to step in day one and play NFL ball because he's been battle-tested throughout the course of his career. You talk about a guy that stepped in as a true freshman and took the job away from Cole Stout. It's very hard to get on the field as a true freshman, more in particular as a quarterback. He did that, played well. I think he only threw, what, two interceptions as a freshman quarterback, then led them to a national championship game as a sophomore and also as a junior, ultimately winning. He's the most pro-ready guy to step in right now and lead a football team, in my opinion.
I agree with you 100%. I think he is. Doesn't mean he's going to be the best of the bunch, but he's the most ready right now. I got him. I think he could fit for the Jets at six. I think they're stupid if they pass on him there. Trubisky, people are mixed on him. You watch a lot of college ball, only started 13 football games. But, man, you see some of those throws that he makes. That's NFL. That's why these NFL guys love him. Accuracy is an issue. He's not ready to play right now, but there's a lot of upside there. I got him going 12 to the Browns, Emory. Take on Trubisky.
I'm not a fan of Trubisky at all. I think he's one of the more overrated prospects in this draft class. You talk about a guy that stepped in this season with a team that came off an ACC championship appearance with all those guys returning. They had nine guys at the combine, and he lost five games, lost against Duke, lost against NC State, played terribly in the got them down that deficit in the Sun Bowl, and they ended up losing that ball game to Stanford. So I think this hype came about for Trubisky, I want to say midseason. I don't know why, because if you look across the way in the same conference with Jerod Evans, he's the same quarterback statistically, got his team to the ACC championship game with the same amount of starts. So I think this Trubisky hype is going to blow up in the team's face in the first round. Some team will be dumb enough to take him in the first round. So there's two quarterbacks right there.
Yeah, you know what? It's crazy, though, Emory. You're right. And you know, just for the record, because I say he's going to get drafted doesn't mean I'm in love with him. But that's not the game that we're playing here right now. But you're right. There's always that one guy that people just fall in love with blindly no matter what, right? And the media hitches to him. And it's a good point of your race. You got Trubisky here. I don't know if Trubisky's better than the Peterman kid out of Pittsburgh that you'll get for a hell of a lot cheaper and later. He's a good quarterback, Peterman. But we're both in agreement. He's going to go on the first, right? Someone's going to bite here.
Yep.
All right. So Mahomes, is this too much hype? You know, because here's another guy. He's the trendy guy right now that went from a third or fourth rounder to a first rounder. But depending, like it's hit or miss. Maybe Arizona loves him. Maybe they don't. Maybe Texas likes him. I don't believe O'Brien does. Maybe a Tomlin likes him late in the first with Pittsburgh to put on the bench. Your take on Mahomes and what happens to him. Is he a first rounder?
Absolutely. And I think you got to keep an eye on Chicago at three because he has the arm to cut through that weather. He's like a cross between Matthew Stafford and Ben Roethlisberger with what he brings to the table from an athleticism standpoint. He has that arm that can go end zone to end zone. And he jumped on the radar, in my opinion, during that Texas Bowl, I want to say 2 years ago against LSU. He was the only guy that was ready to play. Him and Grant, the short wide receiver that's now with the Miami Dolphins. So he has every physical trait that you want. He's battle tested. He's played a lot of games. He wrestled a job away from Davis Webb, who had to transfer and went out to Cal. So I think when you look at Mahomes and what he brings to the table from the physical standpoint, from the fact that he can play the pro game, he can make every throw on the field, that's what they fall in love with. And his production on the field justifies the hype. I think he's another one of these first-round picks. So that's three.
I also like guys that their parents were professional athletes. I like that pedigree. I just like it. Yeah, the money, they have someone to lean on. I like that angle. Hell of an athlete. Which leads us to the most polarizing quarterback maybe in a bunch, in which you hear this guy freaking sucks. It seems to me that guys on Twitter and, Johnny Sixpack, and without insulting anyone, doesn't really know anything, hates on DeShone Kizer. He sucks. He's terrible. How come Notre Dame was terrible? And then I think you talk to real football people, and they're all, like, whispering and stuff. This guy's going to be the best, and, like, don't tell anybody. And someone's secretly waiting to pounce on him right now. Would you agree? Does he potentially have the most upside of these guys? Or, and I do agree with the critics with this guy, there's something missing. It's almost like a puzzle, Emery, in which you have all these parts, and together, they're the best. But they're not gelling somehow. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's Brian Kelly. But this kid has a ton of freaking potential. A cannon, 6'4", 233 pounds, smart as hell mentally. Your take on Kizer? I say he is a first rounder.
I agree with you. That's four first rounders right there in our opinion. And the thing about Kizer, people have selective short memory because they forget 2015 when he had an NFL wide receiver, an NFL left tackle, an NFL running back in the backfield in Riddick and company. Not Riddick, but the young man is out in he's out west now. I forgot the team, but I know he's out west. And he had NFL players on defense. That team got to a BCS Bowl, or New Year's Six Bowl, they call it now. So they were, 10-4? He won a lot of games, and when those guys left, the team stunk. They had a lot of true freshmen out there, and it's funny how people say, oh, well, he didn't win a lot of games. But then when he doesn't have the talent, he didn't make anybody better. You can't have it both ways. And so when they had NFL talent out there in 2015, he led that team to New Year's Six Bowl. What you think he's going to be playing with in the NFL? NFL players. So he's going to pick up right where he left off in 2015. He actually came out and said losing last year helps him even more so as a pro because he's seen both sides. He's won a lot of games in college. He's lost some games, so he knows what it takes to get back to that winning standpoint.
Well, how about Eli Manning? How about the guy that's selling fake football helmets? What was he? He won four games at Ole Miss.
Exactly.
What about Jay Cutler at Vanderbilt? Three and nine teams, you know what I mean? Phillip Rivers at NC State, they weren't 12-2.
Selective short memory, man. But they'll tell you Trubisky is the clear-cut number one guy when – it's obvious that Watson, Kizer, and Mahomes are the lock first round picks.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network. All right, let's get to our DraftKings lineup right now. And listen, guys, we've been throwing some late curveballs here. We set the lineup before the show, but just moments before the show, Kyle Lowry sent home with a bad back. He missed the shoot around, but Lowry's going to suck it up. He's playing. He's not going to miss the game, but nevertheless, you want to take him out, you can get Schroeder in there, but Schroeder's $7,600, then the whole damn lineup crumbles, all right? Tony Snell, this guy's hit six of his last 13 three-point shots. For $4,100, I think he gave us 23 points. Torin Prince is averaging 14 points a game here. Pretty strong stuff. Kid shooting 62% as well. Like Torrance Prince in this spot, same thing, can give us some value. Now we get to the beef. Forget about the appetizers here. Paul Millsap, man, this guy's a beast, man. He's putting up like 50s and 60s and stuff like that. Went off for 29 and 15 the other night. JaVale McGee. Yeah, just leave. Please don't put this. Leave it up. JaVale McGee, $3,700, all right? This guy's been freaking money. He keeps on putting up 20 DK points for good value. Plus, this game's probably going to be a blowout tonight. I'm banking that Kevin Durant doesn't play, which means he probably is. But why the hell would they play Kevin Durant when they're up 3-0? Steph Curry starting to light it up right now. $9,600. Draymond Green, Mr. Fantasy. And Jonas Valanciunas, nice offensive player coming off the bench right now. But he's going to be productive tonight. I like JV, a big game tonight. All right, speaking of the Raptors. Raptors and Warriors, money line parlay. I think they're both going to win. I don't want to lay the points. I think the Atlanta Hawks are going to win. I think the Wizards and the Hawks are going to go over the number. Out of the three games, two of them went over, and one of them only stayed under by 2 points. Warriors and Blazers, a little bit shaky, but I think you can get there 219.5. Baseball, I like these baseball picks. The Rockies are the best money makers in baseball, man. I like the Rockies. Bad scheduling spot for the Nats. Give me the Rockies. Give me the D-backs. Greinke, Chacin. Greinke gets it done this time. Lost last week. I like the Dodgers to beat the Giants tonight. Blue Jays, they're hot, right? Give me the Blue Jays plus 110. And don't forget to tune into the Fantasy Sports Network radio.